me encourage you, if you would, to grab your Bible and join me in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5 is where we're going to be spending some time this morning. And if you're new to Shades, we are so grateful that you are with us this morning. It's a privilege to have this opportunity to step into the Word of God this morning. And we believe that every time we gather and every time we turn our attention to the Word of God, He has something specific to say to each one of us. And so it's our prayer for you if you're new and if you're joining us online and you're just checking out Shades for the first time, we are praying that you would see and hear what the Lord has to say to you here today. We're so grateful to have this chance to join together. As we turn to Romans 5, though, I do want you to know today's message is a continuation of a series that we've been in for the last couple of weeks, and we're just looking at what the Word of God says about what it means to live a life that has been set free. Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6 give us tremendous insight into what this freedom is all about that the Scripture lays before us. And today, as we continue and pick up right where we left off last week, we're going to see two different family trees, two different lineages that are laid out in the Word of God. And so as we think about a lineage or a legacy or a family tree, where you come from, where I come from, I do want to say real quickly right up front, I have a tremendous blessing in this service specifically this morning, because my mom is sitting right down front here with Megan and McKenna and Everett. And my parents live in Atlanta. And so anytime we get to worship together in person, it's a privilege. But Mom, I just want to say to you, as I get to share a message on a lineage, what a blessing it is to have a mom and a dad who love the Lord so much, who love each other, who love us so much. We have been tremendously blessed by the legacy of faith and your faithfulness. So thank you. I love you. We just had a moment here. I'm glad all y'all are here too. But my mom and I just had a moment. Hey, let's step into the Word of God. Romans chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 12. And I'd like to do what we've been doing for the last few weeks together as a church. If you're willing and able, will you stand with me as I read from the Word of God? And the reason we're standing, again, if you're new to Shades and you're wondering why are we standing after we just sat down after singing? Well, we stand in honor of the Word of God, and because the Word of God is the foundation for the people of God. And we need to be reminded of this. There's a lot of voices fighting for our attention. There's a lot of different people telling us what we should believe is true. And so as the people of God, as the church of Jesus Christ, we look to the Word of God as our foundation. We look to the Word of God as the solid rock underneath our feet that lays before us what God says is right and good and true. This is what we need to hear. So we stand the reading of God's Word, and the Scripture says this in Romans 5, 12, through the Apostle Paul, divinely inspired by the Spirit of God. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was the type of the one who was to come. Now, before you're seated, I want to have a word of prayer. But before I pray, I want to ask you to pray with me entering into this scripture. And here's what I want to ask you to pray. We're talking about sin today. And that's not a fun topic. It's not a popular topic. In fact, most of us and most in our culture would rather just ignore a conversation about sin altogether. But here's what oftentimes when we do talk about sin takes place. We oftentimes begin to think about the sin of others. Maybe even the sin of the people sitting right beside you that you're very familiar with. Here's what I want to ask you to pray with me. Let's pray that the word of God, as we collectively turn our attention to scripture, would speak to us individually and show us what we need to see as it relates to a conversation about sin. Let's do everything we can not to point at others or think about others. Let's think about what we need to hear, and let's pray that God would speak to us now. So pray with me. Father God, as we stand before you and turn our attention to your holy scripture, it is my prayer that you would lay before us what we need to see. Have your way among us. Those who are of your people, those who are of your lineage here today, I pray that they would see what you desire for them to see from your word. And those who are joining us, who have yet to determine what they believe about Jesus or about the word of God or about the church, those who are asking questions and searching for answers, those who may be joining out of curiosity, Lord, I pray that they would see what you lay before them this day. Open our eyes to the good news of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing, and thank you for praying with me. To get us started here this morning, I want to take us back to a very historical moment in the American church. Pastor Jonathan Edwards is one of the most well-known theologians throughout the history of this nation. In fact, many have called Jonathan Edwards the leading theologian or the greatest theologian of America. For Jonathan Edwards pastored for over 30 years in New England before he became the president of Princeton University. And during Edwards' ministry, something took place historically in this nation that we now refer to as the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening was a time in our nation's history, at the very beginning of this nation, in the mid-1700s, in fact, as the nation was really being established, that something took place of supernatural power in the lives of many. There was a sweeping of the Spirit of God that awoke many people to see their need for Jesus. And many people turned to Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord in what would be called a revival that really swept through a large part of this country and this land. The Great Awakening was a very powerful time in the history of our nation. And during this time, as God was moving in tremendous power among many people and using pastors like Jonathan Edwards and others, Edwards preached a sermon that has now been called the most famous sermon in the history of America. The sermon was called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. A very tough title for a very tough topic. Talking about sin is difficult. Talking about sin is not fun. But here's what I know for sure when we talk about sin. We will never experience the freedom of the gospel and the power of God in our lives until we are first honest about sin. We'd prefer to minimize it. We'd prefer to trivialize it or ignore it altogether. But we will not experience the power of the gospel and the power of God at work among us as his people until we are honest about sin. Edwards left behind a tremendous legacy of faith and faithfulness. In fact, his descendants have been studied at great length. And what you see in the family tree of this faithful man of the gospel, Jonathan Edwards, is very significant. I want to share some of the family tree of Jonathan Edwards. Among his descendants are over 100 pastors, over 100 lawyers. Now, that may be a good or a bad thing, depending on your perspective, but 100 lawyers, they're usually responsible. Over 80 public officials, over 75 military officers, 65 college professors, 60 doctors, 30 judges, 13 college presidents, 3 state governors, 3 U.S. senators, and 1 United States vice president are all part of the legacy or the lineage or the family tree of Jonathan Edwards. A tremendous family tree, a tremendous lineage. You may be here today as a part of a great family legacy, a great legacy of faith, a tremendous faith heritage. But perhaps you're here today and you're a first generation believer, or you're the first in your family to have a faith heritage whatsoever. Or maybe you're here today and you're trying to navigate what this faith heritage even is about, because it's not something that you've experienced or you've received. It's interesting to note in Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is laying out 2 different heritages, 2 different lineages, 2 different faith legacies, so to speak. One of these lineages is a lineage that we're all a part of, every single one of us. We're all connected in some way to one of the lineages that we see in Romans 5. We're going to talk about that. But one of these lineages is a lineage we've all been invited to, but only some are a part of. 2 very different family trees. In fact, I've titled this sermon today, 2 Family Trees. What do we see in the Word of God? Look back at Romans 5, verse 12. It says this: "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and death spread to all men because all men sinned." Now, verse 12 here is connecting some of what we have already dealt with in this series, the verse 11 verses of Romans chapter 5, but it's also connecting back to what the Apostle Paul has laid out in the first 5 chapters of what we call the book of Romans. And in the first 5 chapters of Romans, we see this beautiful gift of justification by grace through faith in Christ that is talked about over and over and over again. Why is it talked about over and over again? Because every single one of us has a desire wired inside of us to be justified. We want to stand justified. What does that mean? It means not guilty. It means set free. This is a legal term, a courtroom term, where to be justified is to be put on trial, so to speak, and found as one who is not guilty. And when you're not guilty, you're free to go, set free. And when Paul talks about justification, he's talking about justification in the sight of a holy God. And he says, when we are justified, we have peace with God. This again is something that's written on our hearts. We want to be at peace with God, and we try to do whatever we think we need to do to find peace with God. Some people choose religion, some people choose to do their own thing, but whatever it takes, people are trying to live a life where they are justified and at peace. And Romans shows us that the way to be justified and at peace with God, it's through what Jesus Christ has done. But Romans chapter 5, verse 12 is connecting back to that justification and saying, here's why justification in the sight of God through the gift of Jesus Christ is so incredibly important, because every single one of us are connected to a lineage that takes us all the way back to the garden. A lineage that takes us all the way back to Adam, to the first man who sinned. Every single one of us has this lineage of sin that we are connected to. And not only are we connected to this lineage of sin, we are partakers in this and participants in this legacy or heritage or lineage of sin. And Paul makes it clear here in verse 12. He says, look, when Adam sinned, when sin entered the equation for all mankind, death came with sin because sin always leads to death. And then he says, death spread to all men, for all men sin. You see, verse 12 is making it crystal clear why the gift of reconciliation is something every single one of us desperately need. It's because we all have sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, Romans says. And again, I know this is not a popular topic in our culture today. We would rather just say, hey, let's just let everybody be fine. Just choose your path, stick to your path, find your way, do your thing. Don't tell anybody about sin. Don't tell anybody about right and wrong. No. Just do your own thing. Let's just stick to that. But the problem is, every single one of us are connected to this lineage of sin, and this lineage of sin, please don't miss this, always leads to death. Sin always leads to death. We need to be reconciled and justified in the sight of God so that we can move from this lineage of sin that leads to death to a lineage of life that sets us free. That's where the scripture is taking us. But first, we must come face to face with our sin if we are going to truly understand the beauty of the gospel. Because it's when we come face to face with our sin that we realize we need an intervention. We need someone to do something for us on our behalf so that we can experience this gift called reconciliation, justification in the sight of God. And so Paul is taking us to this place where we will come face to face with our sin. And he says, look, you must understand, sin has spread to all of creation. It has ravaged mankind ever since the fall of man in the garden. All you have to do is look back at the garden to see that you and I not only are a part of this lineage of sin, but we are participants as sinners connected to this lineage of sin. Real quickly, I want to turn your attention to the very beginning of the story. Genesis chapter 3 is where we see the story of the fall of man when sin enters the equation. Why don't you turn there? Turn back to Genesis. It's the first book of the Bible, right after the glossary, right after the introduction, right after the copyright, right after those things. At the very front, you're going to see Genesis. Chapter 1 and 2 is the creation account of what God has done, what God has breathed in creation. And then Genesis 3 is where we see the true story of the fall of man and what takes place as sin enters the equation. And what I believe you will see in two verses, verses 6 and 7 of Genesis 3, is that you and I are participants in this lineage of sin. Look at what it says. Verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Her husband, who was supposed to be leading, her husband, who was to be the God-appointed faith leader of the family, stood by and watched passively and partook of this forbidden fruit with Eve. And in this act of disobedience, in this act of rebellion against what God has said, what do we see take place? A sin that we all have participated in. It's the sin of pride. This is a tough one to talk about. It's everywhere. It's in all of our lives. What is pride? Pride is believing that I know best. Pride is doing what I want to do No matter what anyone else says, pride says, hey, I even know better than God. I'm the master of my life. I'm in control of things. I'm going to decide what's right. I'm going to decide what's best. I'm going to decide what's true for me. I know better than God. That's what's happening here with Adam and with Eve, our first parents. As they take this forbidden fruit, they are saying, I believe I know better than God, and I want to put my life in the center and try to push God out to the fringe. I know what's best. And every single person among us has participated in this sin of pride with our first parents in some form or fashion. Every single one of us in some way has concluded we know better than God. No one can tell us what to do. Don't you tell me what to do. I know what's best for my life. It's my life. And in reality, every time we sin, we are saying to God, I know better than you. That's pride. That's the heart of pride. It's a sin that we share with our first parents. It goes all the way back in this lineage to the garden. But then we see what happens next, Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Another great sin of the garden that we participate in. It says, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. What do they do in response to their sin? They hide. This sin of hiding. Why do we hide? Well, sin exposes. Sin makes us feel ashamed. Sin's dark, sin's dirty, sin's the things we're not typically wanting other people to know about. And so we hide, but the reality is in the sin of hiding, as we attempt to cover up our sin, we actually are just perpetuating our sin, for hiding is the greenhouse in which sin flourishes. Adam and Eve try to cover up. You may have seen some of those old drawings or art of the garden, and you see Adam and Eve with the fig leaves. They're trying to cover up. They're ashamed. They don't want anyone to see what's just happened. They go into hiding. This is a sin that we all have participated in some form or fashion, continuing the legacy of sin that we receive from the lineage of Adam, pride and hiding. We see very clearly, even if you think you're a really, really great person and there's only a little stuff in your life that you need to work on, if we're honest at all, we would all say there has been some pride, there has been some hiding in all of our stories. We see exactly what Paul said in Romans 5:12, that all have sinned. We're connected to this lineage of sin that goes all the way back to the garden, all the way back to Adam. We live in a world that has been tainted by sin, a world that has fallen because of sin, and we are active participants in this sin legacy. Where does the word of God go from there? We look at verse 13. It says, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin was not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one to come. Now, what are we seeing here? Well, the Apostle Paul is reminding us of something that is so incredibly important. He understands his audience. He's speaking to a largely Jewish audience. There are Gentile believers among the Roman church, but he's speaking largely to a Jewish audience who understands the significance of God's law and what God has given to Moses. And there was this misconception that maybe, everybody before the law was given is just going to be good to go. And Paul is saying, hold on now. You know there was death and destruction from Adam all the way to Moses before the law was even given. And so he's saying, look, you must be reminded of the point of the law. The law has been given to us not to create sin with all these rules. No, the law has been given to us to reveal sin, to show us our need for the Savior, to show us that, hey, we are all on a level playing field. Sin levels the field and puts us all in a position as violators of the law where we need the Savior. The law reveals sin so that we can see our need for the Savior. But we don't want to think of ourselves as sinners many times. In fact, oftentimes we would rather just try to minimalize or trivialize our sin altogether. And we sometimes will say things like, hey, yeah, I've told a few lies, but I'm not a liar. I mean, liars are bad people, right? And I'm not like those bad liars out there that lie all the time. I've just told a few little lies, and hey, some of those lies, I mean, they felt like they were necessary, okay? So I'm just saying, like, I'm not a liar. I just told a few lies. And know what the Word of God is saying? Look, you've got to understand this lineage that you are connected to. If you tell lies, you are a liar. If you sin, you are a sinner. And you need a new lineage altogether if you're going to be set free. For you are connected to this lineage of sin from Adam, and the law reveals the sin that is in our lives. You need a new family tree altogether. The only way to be set free from what our sin deserves, the only way to be set free from what is called the curse of sin from the family tree of Adam is if we are invited to a new family tree altogether. And please hear this. This is where the really good news becomes really, really beautiful. The only way to be part of a new family tree is if one who is sinless gives their life for us on a tree. The Word of God speaks this so powerfully. I want to turn your attention real quickly to Galatians chapter 3. We'll come back to Romans 5 in just a moment, but go to Galatians 3. Let's see how the Word of God speaks in light of the Word of God. Remember, this is one big story that we step into from Genesis to Revelation, and every aspect of this story connects to the ultimate point of the story, which is to reveal the good news of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, his Son. Look at Galatians, chapter 3, verse 13. The Word of God says this: Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. And then the Apostle Paul here, as he writes to the church in Galatia, quotes from the Word of God and says, "For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." Church, I hope and pray that you see the beauty of what is laid out here in Galatians chapter 3. Jesus Christ took the curse of sin. Somebody might say something like, amen, or thank you, or that's great. Jesus Christ took the curse of sin. Church, respond. That's good news, very good news, that Jesus Christ lived the life that you and I could not live, the perfect, sinless life, and he offered his perfect, sinless life on a tree to take the curse of sin that you and I deserve as violators of the law, as sinners, as members of the lineage of Adam, the lineage of death and destruction through sin. Jesus Christ took that curse on his back, hanging on a tree, so that all who trust in him can truly be set free. What family tree? What family tree are you connected to? All of us are connected to this family tree of Adam, this lineage of sin. There's an invitation to be connected to this family tree of life, this new family tree given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord, where you and I could be called children of God. That means we are truly justified and reconciled in the sight of God. He is the perfect Father who invites us through adoption to be called his son or his daughter. Two family trees. Between these two trees is a cross. Between these two trees is a tree on which our Lord and Savior hung and died to break the curse of sin so that you and I could be invited from one family tree to another. Which family tree are you connected to? We go back to Romans 5, verse 15, and it says, but the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, that's the lineage of Adam, the family tree of sin. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. It's available. This new family tree, this lineage of life, it's available. This tree of freedom is available. Will you receive it? It says, verse 16, the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin, for judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. There's our word again. That's what the book of Romans is showing us time and time again. There is an invitation to be set free from the curse of sin. The free gift is not like the trespass. The trespass of Adam's sin brings the curse of death. The trespass of Adam's sin, it leads to destruction. Many of you are very familiar with that family tree. It's a tree we're all connected to. But the free gift is not like the trespass. The free gift offers new life. The free gift offers forgiveness. The free gift, as the scripture says, is a gift of grace. It does not destroy. It creates new life, and it is a gift that has no end. What family tree are you connected to? I want to close this morning's message by turning to one other place in the Word of God. Again, another letter of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which shows us the power of the resurrection. We've been talking about what Christ has done, hanging on a tree, dying for our sin, dying in our place to break the curse of sin as sin was thrust onto his back. But listen to the power of the resurrection in this gift of new life, this new lineage, this new family tree that is created through the new and better Adam, Jesus Christ, the perfect man. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53 and following says this, for this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, get ready for this, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, the Word of God says, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a lineage of death. There is a lineage of victory. Which tree are you connected to? This is the beautiful good news of the gospel, that even though all of us begin connected to this lineage of sin, each and every one of us, through the cross that sits between these two family trees, is invited to the lineage of life and victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is a cross that sits between two trees. There is a cross between these two lineages. Which family tree is your name a part of? Through Jesus Christ our Lord, no matter what your lineage has been to this point, no matter what the family tree has been like till this day, through Jesus Christ our Lord, if you receive what he has done for you through the cross and through the power of his resurrection, death is swallowed up in victory, and he gives you the promised victory of new life in a new family, on a new family tree, not only here and now, but forevermore. Will you trust what Jesus has done? Let me have a word of prayer for us as we close this message, and then we're going to sing together, and we're going to sing in response to what God has laid before us, to this incredible good news that we call the gospel, that Jesus has made a way where there seemed to be no way. And Jesus has defeated sin and death so that you and I can be set free in the good news of the victory that he provides. Let me pray for us right now. Father God, I lift up your people, the church, those who know you, those who love you and follow you, those who are connected to the tree of life, to this lineage of faithfulness that is granted through Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord God, that those who are following you, those who have experienced the gift of salvation, I pray, Lord God, that not only would they sing and worship in light of what they have received, but that they would live in worship in light of what they have received. And I pray, Lord God, that no matter what may come this week or this day, or no matter what may come in the weeks and months ahead, that those who are in Christ, who are connected to this new family tree, Lord, that they would live the beautiful good news of the gospel with tremendous hope and tremendous power, because death has been swallowed up in victory. I pray, Lord God, that your church, your people, would be a living testimony, a picture, and a word of the hope that we have through what Jesus Christ has done to invite us to be called children of God. And Lord, I pray specifically now for those who recognize on this day that right now they are only connected to the lineage of Adam, the lineage of sin, the lineage of death and destruction through sin. And Lord, some of them have been walking through some really tough stuff. And they've been asking some really tough questions. But Lord, today you are inviting them to see that there is an invitation from one family tree to another. That there is an invitation to new life and freedom in the reconciliation that is provided through Jesus Christ. And so I pray, Lord God, that you would give them the faith on this day to trust you at your word and to receive that invitation to cross from one tree to another, to cross from death to life. I pray, Lord God, that they would say, Jesus, I know I need you. And I'm ready I'm ready to trust in what you have done for me so that I can be set free to live in the gift of new life that you alone can provide. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for laying before us the beauty of the gospel. I pray that we would respond in faith to who you are and what you have done. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.